Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
I should ask, how many people will acknowledge that there's things that make you come alive, but there's also voices outside from society, from people, or yourself that try and rob you of taking hold of that? So I believe it's understanding what Christ did and the intention of God and his love story for us to live lives that are free. So why don't we open in prayer and then we'll dig in. Daddy, thank you. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for Stan. And thank you for freedom, God. Thank you so much for freedom. And thank you that there's something you have for each and every one of us today. I know it. I'm excited about it. I thank you for free living, and I thank you that you intend more and more understanding on our part. There couldn't be any more freedom, but more understanding of our freedom and what that means to life. So I invite everyone, their spirit, to take dominance right now and say yes to what you have in store. So thank you, Daddy. Amen. So, in Galatians 5:1, why did he set us free? For what reason, it tells us, did Christ set us free? For freedom, right? It's not like, I set you free so you could serve me. I set you free so you could now walk in this line instead of that line. I set you free so that you could... It's simple. I set you free for freedom's sake, right? And so I first went to the English for definition, to the English sources, if you will, dictionary-wise, and I ended up down a rabbit trail that I'm not going to take you down other than conceptually. The fascination of how many words there are that, how few words there are that you can define without their opposite, their antithesis. So try to describe freedom without involving captivity. Can't do it. Freedom is, when you go to the dictionary and you look at it, it talks about it's being not withheld. It's being, everything is a contrast against bondage. It's being, freedom is the absence of control. It's being freed from control. They almost have to use the word free in the definition of free. There are I said I wouldn't go down the rabbit hole. I won't, other than to say there are some words that we all are familiar with that I forgot the proper word. It's not antithesis and antagonist and this, that. But they can mean the opposite of themselves, right? So one of them was, once I hit them, you will.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of them is, come on. So last week we're in service and Beth and I are known when we get excited to say something out loud in the middle of service. Like, and one of them is, come on. Like, so anyway, we're saying that, and it ended up, why don't you share what went on?
Well, coming from another generation, certain terms were used differently back when versus now. So no way is one of them. You're wrong, no way, it can't be right. So no way was wrong, and now we use it as an affirmative.
Yeah, yeah.
I forget the other one.
It was come on.
Yeah, you're like he was sitting two rows over from us, so we're saying come on. He's like, where are we going? Instead of it's like, come on, bring it. That's good. So it was bring, not come. You know. So anyway, thank you. That was funny. We had a good laugh last week after. Anyway, so the similar to, well, let's stick with freedom for the moment, and then I'll come to that next one. So when were you set free?
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Can I tell you?
Please. No, 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 not your prayer.
No, no, no.
Okay.
No, biblically. Biblical.
Yeah, yeah.
I was set free before the foundation of the world.
Ah, nice. Before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
By?
I was already in his plan.
Yes.
To be set free.
Okay.
Okay.
And I would agree, since there's no time or space in the kingdom, it is outside of time. So when I say the word ten, I'm relegating freedom to time and space, and it's outside of time and space. It is where we're meant to live, in the kingdom.
Exactly.
So I love that.
And when the time was fulfilled, okay?
Yeah.
That is a time in God. Okay?
Yes. Okay. So when the time was fulfilled through Christ. Yes.
He reached his hands, okay?
Yes.
And remove all my hair, right? And said, now you are completely free.
Completely free. Amen. So freedom isn't part of time or space. However, in this fallen world, there is a chronos. There is a linear reality. There's a birth, a living, and a dying. There's a tree comes from seed to tree, to dying, right? So there's linear. And so there is captivity to this world and the fallen world. And we were set free from this world and renewed to what already existed.
Amen.
With Christ at the cross. And when we said yes, so I said yes to my freedom when I said yes to believing on Jesus and what Jesus did, right? Same for you. Okay, fine. Okay, perfect. So that being said, are there areas of your life where you don't feel free? Okay, I see vehement head nodding, so on and so forth. I'm going to keep moving for a bit, but I would encourage you to allow some of those areas to start to percolate and start to be prepared to consider, what's an area in my life that I don't feel free? What's a particular relationship where I don't feel freedom? What's a particular nuance of a relationship? So, for example, I feel totally free with my wife, but there are nuances of the relationship where I come back under bondage. So whatever the Holy Spirit brings to mind, it's going to be worth taking a look at together. But in Galatians 5:1, where it talks about Christ set us free, it's for freedom's sake. And that definition of freedom has to do with no longer yoked, is another definition I found. Well, what does Jesus say about yoking? He says, my burden is easy. But that does mean be yoked with me, he says. Come, join the yoke with me. And the yoke was this dual thing that put two oxen in together. And he's basically saying, come, my burden is easy. Come, get away with me. I love it in Matthew in the Message version. It says, come, get away with me. I'll show you the unforced rhythms of grace. And it goes on to say, walk with me and work with me. I'll show you the easy way. I'll show you a living that is light and free. So I didn't get that exactly verbatim on the last part, but it's worth going and reading in Matthew. I'm not Greek. I love how Javen always says that, so I'm going to pronounce it in my ripped up English. Eleutheria, Eleutheru, so there's freedom. Set us free is Eleutheru, and the root word was, and I'm not, obviously these aren't critical. I want you to hear what they are referred to as, though, or what some of the definitions are. Here we go. So, I said I had it. Here it is. Okay. Liberty to do or omit things having no relationship to salvation. Another one is freedom or legitimate licentiousness, chiefly moral or ceremonial. When you go to the root, That's the one I was looking for. Here we go. Which is, there we go. Eleutheros. It is, in civil, a civil sense, one who is not a slave, one who ceases to be a slave, which to us is a little bit strange because none of us have lived in a time, at least in the United States, where culturally we see slavery and what slavery is like if you're born into slavery. But it is an identity at the time this was written. You are a slave. You don't have your freedom. Even if you escaped, you don't have your freedom. You don't have a name. You don't have papers. You are a slave. That's who you are. It's your identity. Whereas if you are set free, if your master sets you free, and I don't know all the process, but of sorts, they're giving you papers that prove I'm no longer a slave. I'm of the race of freedom. I'm of the free race, not the slave race, right? It's a completely different identity. And Christ said he set us free for what? For freedom's sake, so that we can be free. And the link that takes place here ends up being to salvation. And that word is sozo in the Greek. And the word sozo has to do with a complete salvation, saving body, soul, and spirit. When you look at sozo, the definition, I'm just building this as context when I go to these definitions. It is, in Strong's, it's to deliver or protect, heal, preserve, save, as in save self, do well, be whole, be made whole. So it's for freedom that he set us free. And the word it uses is freedom associated with sozo salvation, which, so it's for complete wholeness, complete wellness, freedom from those thoughts that try and invite us back into bondage. That Galatians 5:1 says, it's for freedom that Christ set us free, so never again will I be put back in the bonds of slavery. That's Paul crying out, no way, I ain't going back. Right? So those voices, I'm laying with this message in bed in the middle of the night, wake up, great night's sleep, but I wake up and so it comes to mind at least. And so I fall back asleep with that on my mind. I end up with this dream, and in the dream, I don't mean to say this is some prophetic thing, it was just a cool little illustration. And it was that each of us have this little, you ever seen those digital screens that type across them, only very fast, and we're able to comprehend them quickly. It's a dream, so we can go wherever the dream takes us. And here is the thing. At first, it was an uncomfortable feeling, and you're going to see why. It was that I have one on, and what I'm actually thinking in the middle of our conversation or our interaction is being typed. You're seeing exactly what my first thing. And then God reminded, at first I was like, oh, that would be horrible, right? But then it was everyone else had one too, and I was like, that would be bad too. I really don't want to know some of the things that crosses my wife's mind at first. Unfortunately, I do, and often, because she does say them. And that's when God went, see, I set you free in so many ways. One is, You in your flesh are afraid to know what you were thinking and feeling. So you stay in bondage. Why are you scared? I'm not scared. I chose you. I made you. I know you and I chose you. I know those thoughts. Let's not be afraid to know them. And furthermore, there's nothing anyone in this room's ticker typer could say that changes how much I love you, David, or changes my promises over you. Sal said last week, the promises were reminded to him by God that they never go away. He's promised me he'll always love me, never forsake me. He'll work all things together for my good. So even if my wife in her loses her way and thinks ill of me, that doesn't change how he thinks of me. And he'll either make it great or he'll take her home and give someone. I'm kidding. I'm exaggerating. I'm just making a point. That. No. Yeah. So right. But imagine. So that's why I asked you a minute ago. What are some of the areas that you don't feel free? Because won't it be great? Or isn't it going to be great soon when we visit one or two of those areas and God sheds some light on them and brings a new level of freedom into your life, into my life? So with that, let's look a little closer, though, at how we navigate. I love what Sal said as we talked about freedom at first. I asked, when did it take place? And I was looking for the answer to be when I said yes to Christ. First, when Christ paid the price and bought my freedom, and then when I said yes to freedom. But Sal accurately said, well, that's in this Chronos worldview. The truth is, it took place at the creation when God chose us and created us. So that said, we come in and out of this kingdom that we're meant to live in. Our flesh longs to seek what? What shall I eat? What shall I wear? But Jesus said, don't worry about, focus on those things. Seek my kingdom and all else will be added to you. He even goes on to say, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The existence of, in and from freedom, okay? So if he set us free, how free?
Totally.
Like what degree, percentage-wise, would you say?
He set us free
100%.
So it's up to us to accept his freedom.
Okay, so because I didn't have the microphone out, in case you couldn't have heard in video land or post-recording land, the answer is 100% free. You can't be partially free. If you're in any bondage, you're in bondage. Just like darkness and light. There's either light or dark. There isn't partial light. It's 100%. The comment that was made, though, is you can, it's to the degree you understand or accept your freedom. So there are areas where we may not be accepting our freedom or understanding our freedom, right? So let's talk about degrees. First of all, have you ever seen an illustration or thought about how something that's off, just even an inch off or 1 degree off, where it ends up? Say a plane, it sets off and it's 1 degree off course when it leaves the United States and it's headed for, let's say, Poland. Warsaw came to mind for some reason. If it starts off 1 degree off when it leaves Newark Airport, you're not going to end up in Poland, right? Do you get that? It's going to end up going way off course. So if I set out free, but I start to try to figure out how to please God again and start coming under performance and start worrying about whether I'm behaving right, doing right, or start to be self-righteous in what I'm doing right and start to think I'm the reason I'm walking in favor and blessing or whatever. Even in one little area, that little degree, if it continues to play itself out, can reap a negative harvest. Investing time with couples that Beth and I have done recently, and at times we've seen scenarios where a couple can be beautifully rooted in love and yet be practicing a practice of not investing in intimacy, investing in trust. And that little degree that actually gets hidden, and I'll be real specific. If one partner in a relationship doesn't get upset at anything and believes they're doing the right thing by not getting upset and being almost self-righteous in that approach. So one is emotional and expressive. Quick example, let's say you're raised, I'll just use Beth and I, it'll be easier. I was raised in a household where arguing was disrespectful. Voicing how you feel was disrespectful. just arguing in general was disrespectful. Beth was raised in a family that has Italian roots. Arguing was a way you engage, right? You yell it out, you talk it out, you say ugly things, you mock one another. Mocking spirit to me is something that I rise. There's something in me that rises up if I see a person mocking another person. I'm not saying this is right. I'm just saying I'm wired to feel like that is an enemy that needs to be crushed, not the person, the mocking spirit. That's how, I just wanted to see how deep-rooted it is. But for Beth, mocking is a part of just getting it out. And when they're done, they're more in love than they were before. It was just, you know, hey, you, what's the matter? You know, blah, 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 you know. Well, imagine putting the two of us together in a relationship. All of a sudden, she's saying, love me by arguing this out with me. And I'm going, love me by not yelling and be quiet and take some space and let's get grounded and come back when we're more resourceful or whatever, you know? And to her, I'm abandoning and she feels unloved. And to me, I'm loving her as I'm pulling away. Okay, fine. Now take that back to the origin. If she's having a bad day and saying things irrational and I choose to, and I am nothing but positive and trying to fix it, I know we all know guys in general like to fix, and I know we're stereotyping here, and women like to share feelings. I'm saying, though, if I try to fix it and I make everything okay, that little degree of not being open and admitting I'm scared too, I don't know how to fix it, or I'm sorry you're sad, I wish you weren't sad, I wish I knew what to do about it, that little one degree of bondage, of inability to live free in our relationship, carry that out 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And where do you end up in relationship? It ends up dead. You end up with two people that sit at a restaurant and they don't even know what to talk about. And they're either on their devices or, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying you have to talk every minute to have a great relationship. I'm not trying to say there's a right way or wrong way. You get the idea. I think we can dismount that pony or horse. So a better example is driving in the snow. Has anyone ever lived up north? Driven in the snow? Okay. If you haven't, skidding is a part of driving in the snow, going into a slide, okay? The challenge in learning how to drive in the snow is that once you go into a slide, your natural reaction is, if I'm sliding this way, what do I need to do? Sure. Fix it. And so you overcompensate and you go into a slide that way. And next thing you know, and that's why you see people fishtail and then lose control and slide off. The reality is, there's a whole nother, opens the door to a whole nother metaphor, I would think, for a phenomenal teaching. But if you literally take your hand off of the wheel, it will find its traction and you're fine. But now imagine being in a skid and literally going, trust you. I'm not under bondage to have to fix this. Just boom. Because it's just a little degree. The truth is you could keep your hand on the wheel. You go into a slide. It's just enough. And actually it's a turn in So if you're skidding this way, it's actually a slight degree into the slide so that you catch traction and then you can come back on course. In the race, in racing, where skids are a serious situation, I've been told of a training mechanism they have, which is a helmet where there's a control of the head. And so the trainer is in the passenger seat and the car, they have a way that they automatically can put it into a slide. And they train them over and over and over again. When they go into a slide, the natural reaction, you're sliding towards the wall, is to look at the wall. And wherever you look programs your mind what to do of how to get there. So next thing you know, boom, you crash into the wall. But instead, they put them into a slide and they force their head to look at the track. And they've also been trained conceptually what to do in the classroom. So now, skid triggers, they're looking at the track, they end up changing their pattern, interrupting their pattern, and looking where they want to go, and so then they end up getting more and more trained on how to do that, which would involve, even though they're looking this way, would be to slightly catch your traction and then come back in, whatever the case might be. For us, there's an awareness of a truth that the enemy has wanted to distort. And so when I operate in a way that is slave versus free, I tend to get tighter, not looser. Can you relate to that? Once it triggers, I'm free, I'm good, I wake up, have some quiet time, have some worship music, I'm in an attitude of gratitude, looking at this weather today, right? And I'm alive, I feel well, I feel great, everything's great, and then all of a sudden something happens. You don't even know how you ended up in that funky place. And then now you're in that funky place, and you're engaging with someone, and you behave in a way that you don't love, and it triggers something in them. Now you feel even worse. You're tightening up and staring at the wall, metaphorically, and driving right for it, stepping on the gas, right? Accelerating more and more and more instead of the new pattern being triggered. And so in seeking what is that, how many people have already thought about a scripture that would associate to remembering that we're free?
I got a scripture.
What came to mind?
Remember in John 5, when Jesus on the well, the woman on the well?
I do. It's not the one I was looking for, but I'm going to not cut you off.
We talk about freedom, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, the woman on the well. She got totally freedom from Jesus.
Yes.
Because Jesus knows all her life. He told
Beautiful
her,
example.
He told her everything, everything about her. All right? So at the end, she says, wow. You are the Christ that we are waiting for, all right? So she got so freedom and so happy.
It's a beautiful example.
Okay, that she went out and preached.
I told everyone her secrets.
She was the first evangelist.
But not only evangelist, thank you. That's awesome, Sal. Because she felt, I don't have to hide anymore.
That's it.
He knew everything about me.
That's the freedom.
And so did the rest of the town, probably. And they went, we knew it. We're glad you finally know it now.
She said to her, wow.
Yes, she yes.
Said, so I find a man that he told me everything about my life.
Yes.
Wow.
And how freeing did that feel? Come on. Come on. Come on. Right?
You know the
yes, Sal, yes. So the absolutely, yes.
Romans 12.
Yes, that's where I was looking for.
Renew the pattern of this world, but transformed.
Okay, and so it's a come on, and that's good. Here's why I wondered if it came to anyone's mind. It's a renew, but if you think about, I shouldn't say this, I should ask, how many people have had that scripture from a mixture base where you see yourself needing to be renewed? What does renew mean to you in that context, in a legalistic concept? Change, yeah.
I have to change me.
Effort, okay. So one was effort, one was change. So if you go to the root of all of those, it means you were no longer free and have to be made free again. And that is not the definition of renew. Renew,
it's more of a reminder.
Well, the definition first, yes, a reminder, I get what you're saying there, resume after the interruption. It's the parents renewed their campaign to save the school. The school was already safe. They renewed their commitment to save the school is the definition. Return to, take up again, come back to, begin again, start again. I can't start something that I don't already have. I'm free. I don't need to renew my freedom. I'm free. I don't need to renew my mind. My mind was renewed and made right with God the moment I believed and said yes.
Amen.
So then what is it? We're simply recommitting, resuming the truth. There's a lie that's trying to get in. It may seem so subtle, just a little half degree, but that is everything because it changes. That's the pattern interrupt is me knowing that I'm already free. So it's the woman at the well. Once it happened once, hopefully she never lived in hiding again. When Jesus said before, for all the people that we read about, in the Gospels, they didn't have Christ in them yet. You with me, right? He hadn't been resurrected. And he would say, go and sin no more. But that's written for you and I as well. But what is the sin there? We're wiped free of, there is no, God doesn't see sin. It's unbelief. He's simply saying, go and be free. Believe what you just believed on that gave you your healing. Go and sin no more. Be free. Unbelief. That the yes. So thank you, Jesus. And when you think of it in that context, effort was brought up. Romans 12 about renewing our mind. No matter what, you can read it as a work. So does it make sense that the performance-based, mixture-based, law-based teachings would latch onto that and teach it as a work? Okay, fine. We're not under that anymore. But I still read it, and it does have the appearance of effort. And there is effort. Just like in John 6:29, I touched on it last week. I probably will almost every week. But I want to go to where what it says before John 6:29 today. That's where the disciples say to God, to Jesus, then what are the works of the Lord? What is the work? Okay, fine. We're only supposed to do one thing. What is that one thing? It's to believe on the one that he sent. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58, it refers to it as a toil. It does say that the one thing are the works of the Lord. It says toil, but your toil is not in vain, it says. So it's not a toil for me to be free. I'm free. It's a toil in this temporary place to remember I'm free when there's all kinds of things wanting to challenge me remembering. The ease, though, is the woman at the well of just allowing him to say, I know it and I chose you. So back to that little teletyper over our head, getting in touch with what are some of those things that we, where some of those areas where we don't feel free. Before we go to one or two examples, my other favorite scripture is Romans 8:1 that says, it's the spirit of life that set us free. From what? The spirit of sin and death. From all those lies. So the spirit of sin and death in this world is around, creeping and crawling under the direction of its master. We're told we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But against the powers and principalities and of darkness. They don't have any power or authority over us. We're free from them. But it doesn't stop them from roaring or creeping around and lobbing little things just to get us one degree off in our thinking. And all of a sudden get me thinking that just because someone has threatened my safety with a question, a disappointment, an anger, or whatever, my propensity to want to self-protect and pull away and protect myself, or say some Christian platitude as a protection. I use, distort the truth to hide in my slavery by quoting some scripture that causes me to, onward Christian soldier, right? And buckle up instead of buttercup, instead of going, wait a minute. I want to be the woman at the well that goes, all right, you know me. You know all of me, and you chose me. I'm dancing through the streets now. You can't touch me because I'm loved. And now, because of that, I don't have a chip on my shoulder about it. From the inside out, don't ask me to love you. I don't know how. But Christ in me does, right? So do you have an area in our last minutes together where you, and I know you do, and I know the Holy Spirit's going to quicken you right now to think of one or two. By the way, it could be as simple as the pull to want to eat kielbasa every Sunday after church and feel horrible about it here. I don't mean here. If you feel bad here, I want to set you free so you go eat the kielbasa, okay? But if you feel bad here, but you feel in bondage to it? That would be what I mean. Just something you feel less than his best in your life. Are people starting to get something you can think of? Might be that you want to go to bed at 11. You feel better when you do, or at 10, but you find yourself stuck watching stuff. There's nothing wrong with enjoying, but if you feel in slavery and bondage to that thing, or the inability, for me, it's relational right now more than anything, because my challenge, it has been for years, but that's where the joy of life was robbed, where I would stay in bondage. So the easiest examples have less to do with the interaction with the physical world and more so to do with my daughter and my ability to let her know I need her. I love her. I be intimate. I don't have all the answers, or just whatever. Connect with her at a heart level. That doesn't come natural, okay? Or when she's not doing what I know is best for her, and now I have to figure out how to deal with this situation, and she's a 14-year-old teenager and starts to trigger me. Now, the exact opposite of what I want to do, which is help her, I start to get tighter and more angry, right? And less encouraging in my words or whatever. And the next thing you know, I win the battle and lose the war of relationship. And yes, she needed to do her homework. And great, I got her to do her homework. But did I have her feel free? Did I remind her she's free? Who cares if you don't even do the homework? What was more important in that moment? So that was one of my little examples. So does anyone have one that comes to mind? You don't have to share if you want to share. Okay. Double chocolate donut you had this morning. Okay.
I'm actually killing two birds with one stone right now.
Okay. So what?
So you could be free now and have a triple.
Well, and that's why it's so important to personalize it. What was said, in case you didn't hear it, is, okay, great. So we're focused on freedom. You can, instead of a double chocolate, you can have a triple chocolate. And then for all of those, they're going to watch this out there and go, see, these grace people, they see it as licentiousness and a license to sin. And that's not, here's the thing. I can tell you this. Have you wanted to not eat chocolate donuts as often? Okay. There's reasons you don't want to eat them. And yet you did anyway. Okay, so my reason for asking is, do you know it's not in your best interest?
Oh, resounding yes.
And yet you did anyway.
Yes.
So the law isn't working for Steve.
Right.
Discipline, reading the book on the 7 habits of not eating double chocolate donuts when they make you feel bad, doesn't last. It doesn't work. Coming up with Christian platitudes and reminders and memorizations of scriptures that go, I rebuke you, donut. it doesn't work. So just like the wheel skidding in the snow, and I wish you'd experienced it for all you Floridians to get, it really works. The only hope is to rest in the fact I'm already free. First of all, the power of the donut, I agree. Have a triple chocolate. You're still going to be okay. You may not enjoy how you feel. You may not enjoy the result it has if you're trying to whatever. If it's a weight thing, if it's a whatever the case might be. But regardless,
it's a health issue.
It's a health issue. And it's a health issue. I'm trying to stay in the mental component of it where slavery exists. So the slavery is, there's a need. He's feeling unsatisfied. There's a trigger and a tightness that goes off. He doesn't have to know what to do about this. He doesn't need to go to counseling. I'm not saying there's not life in that. The Holy Spirit may lead him to do those things. Got to do it quick because we're...
Okay, so can you ask him what he thinks about when he eats it?
I would like to. What I was going to say is next week...
Okay.
We're going to roll into working out some of these examples. So if you're with us, okay, good. Have a donut so that it's on the way there, so that it's fresh in your mind. But I would ask, and I was, I was going to suggest this anyway, just for fun this week, without working at it, be open to what the Holy Spirit brings to mind. Capture, and maybe even make a note if you're willing, of times you just noticed, I feel in bondage. I feel contradiction. I feel tension. I feel unsafe. Whatever it might be, capture it. And you won't have to share it here, but as we work through an example or two and go through the actual process, like Beth and Steve were just inviting, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to reveal pattern interrupts and power that's been given to us with Christ in us as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus to walk in freedom and not in bondage. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. We are free indeed because of you. Thank you that we can walk that out. And thank you that we can boldly, as Sal said, as the woman at the well, be open to you knowing all the truth about our lives. And then we can be set free to dance in the streets. You rock, God. Amen. Thank